The sermon will reflect on the readings from Isaiah and also refer to the reading from John and Acts. But to start, I would like to read from Matthew chapter 26. Verses 38 and 39. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 15 through 53, verse 12, is considered an astounding, a marvelous, mysterious prophecy of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And it's quoted a number of times in the New Testament. Even Peter quoted it in the Pentecost sermon. And we will use that as a basis this week and next week to think about Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. When we speak of Jesus, it's traditional in Christian theology and teaching to think about who he is, the person of Jesus, and what he's done, the work of Jesus. And that really encompasses all what we say of Christology, who he is and what he has done and still does. And that is a question that people asked about Jesus while he was here on earth during his ministry. His disciples asked the question. Sometimes they came up with the right answer. When Peter said he confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then he wasn't quite so sure because later on he said, "No, you shall never die." And Christ said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." His disciples asked these questions. The Pharisees and the Jewish chief priests certainly asked and challenged Jesus on who he was. And what authority do you have to forgive sins? By what authority do you do these miracles? And the crowds asked. And in fact, in our reading from John, the crowds are asking a very deep and specific question when they said, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever." So the Christ, the promised Messiah, is supposed to be forever. "How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up?" And that term "lifted up" means to die. "So Jesus, you say you are the Son of Man, and you just said you must be lifted up, you're going to die, but we know the Christ would live forever. So are you the Christ? Are you going to live forever, or are you going to die? Which is it?" The crowds are asking a question about who he is and what he's going to do. And we heard the Ethiopian ask the same question. Is the prophet writing about himself or someone else? A question about Jesus. There are so many parts of Isaiah 52 and 53 that we could look at and emphasize. Tonight, the emphasis really wraps around the opening verse, verse 13 of Isaiah 52. When Isaiah opens up this song, song of the servant song, by saying, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted." The rest of the prophecy speaks of that. What is true wisdom? What is divine wisdom? The servant is wise. And in that wisdom, it's said right away, he shall be high and lifted up. And thus, Jesus knows who he is. He is that servant who will be lifted up, which he just told the crowds and John. They didn't understand, but But Jesus understood that everything that is said here is said about him. It applies to him. And so this wisdom from God is to be lifted up, is to die. That is not human wisdom. Human wisdom says, I need power over all of you. That's what we say. The person says, I need to have power over you, and you can listen to me and do what I want and set me above you. That's human wisdom. But divine wisdom is something else. Divine wisdom says that the servant would suffer for sinners. That's just the opposite of human wisdom. This wisdom of the servant is to do the will of God. If we use the internet like Facebook or Instagram or things like that, we put photos up. We like the best looking photos, not the worst ones. This is not the wisdom of the servant, not God's wisdom. It says that his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance. The wisdom of God was that by obeying God and by redeeming the world, being beaten and hung on the cross, he wouldn't appear as human anymore. He was so beat up. That's not human wisdom. That's divine wisdom. And it's divine wisdom by saying, by doing this, he would sprinkle many nations. It continues, he will be marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. And that word sprinkle there is a sacrifice term. It means sprinkle the blood. It's the same word used when Jesus, when God told Moses to sprinkle the blood in the Holy of Holies before the Ark of the Covenant on Atonement Day, Day of Atonement, which we talked about last week. That's the same word. It's a sacrifice term, sprinkling the sacrifice blood. So this, what will happen to his body, the servant, he shall sprinkle many nations. He wants to be sacrificed to save many nations. We know that our political leaders, and we too, whenever something good happens, we want to say, that's because of me. Look what happened. If something bad happens, that's that guy's fault over there. So if something good happens, congratulate me. Something bad happens, blame the other guy. In this prophecy, the kings, they don't even know what to say. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. They're seeing Jesus Christ, and they don't understand him. King Herod did not understand Jesus Christ at his trial. Pilate did not understand Jesus Christ at his trial. The chief priests did not understand Jesus Christ. Finally, they could just had to shut their mouths. What did Pilate do? I don't know what to do. This man is innocent. I wash my hands. You take him and crucify him. He didn't know what to say beyond that. The servant is very humble. He does not demand his own way, his own will. That is what the servant is like. He is willing to be humble, to be rejected, to not look acceptable to his peers. And Isaiah even says at the end of verse 3, and we, including Isaiah himself, and we esteemed him not. The servant was willing to be wise by God's standards, to know God and to obey God, that is wisdom, so that others may have God's mercy. that's starting to go into verses 4 and 5 and 6, which we'll talk about more next week. But we see in verse 4, it says, when he did all these things, when he was beaten, when he was humbled, when he was rejected, what happened? Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. His humility was also his mercy. He was not defending himself, but went through all this so that people might be saved. You can easily say he did not defend himself so that we might be defended against sin and the evil one. The servant was obedient to his father. To have the divine wisdom, to be wise, was to follow what his father wanted to be done so that people would be saved. Listen to that reading from Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus prays in the garden. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Can you hear the suffering of Isaiah 52 and 53 coming in and happening here right now as Jesus is in the garden? Continuing at verse 39, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. In the garden, the prophecy from Isaiah is being enacted, is happening, is being fulfilled. For Jesus has the divine wisdom, knowing his Father perfectly, knowing his Father's will, knowing that he is to complete his Father's will. He knows the prophecy. He knows the pain and struggle he will go through. So, Father, if it's possible, let this not happen. But not my will, yours be done. By conforming to his Father's will, by going through that for us, we receive mercy. If we at times are afraid of things attacking us, whether it's our own sin and conscience, or whether it's Satan, or whether something in the world is attacking us, think on this Jesus Christ, who fulfilled this prophecy because he had the wisdom that he needed to do this to save us. And he would. He conformed to his Father's will to save his lost children. Nothing can overcome that. He asks us to look to him and his wisdom and his obedience. We speak the Agnus Dei together. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant us peace.
Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for going through the suffering and death for us. We ask you to encourage us, to give us strength, to give us faith, to know that you have accomplished all for our salvation. Keep us in your will. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the sermon hymn 452.